This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Deep in the Bear Cave.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We keep getting further and further into the bear market. I checked on how long bear markets usually last, and you're not going to like the answer. About 400 days. At 3:30 p.m. Eastern time yesterday, the Dow looked like it was going to head for another loss of about 150 points. Then, in the last 30 minutes, it fell another 100 points. Such are the times. The Dow is at 11,147 after losing 237 points. The NASDAQ dropped 60 to 2,234. The S&P 500 lost 29 to 1,244. We're in 2% territory. In Asia, stocks finished mixed today. European shares are down about 1% this morning. The hotel company Marriott releases its latest profit report today. Just like every other industry, the hotel business is suffering. But some are doing worse than others. Stacey Vanek Smith explains.
Hotels may be leaving the light on for us, but we're not coming. Occupancy rates in May were down 3% from 2007, and that was before gas prices really took off.
Each type of hotel is a different business model.
Scott Berman is a hospitality consultant at PricewaterhouseCoopers. He says hotels in big cities and luxury hotels are faring okay thanks to international travelers, but the low local end is getting hit hard.
Hotels that are rooms only and price sensitive along the interstates are probably feeling it worse.
But that may change, says Bobby Bowers with Smith Travel Research. He says when summer ends, higher-end hotels will have to rely heavily on business travelers. If companies continue to cut back travel budgets, those hotels could be left high and dry.
So that September-October timeframe, that's going to tell us a whole lot about how the year will wind up.
Bowers says if bigger hotels start discounting, it could mean bad news for the industry. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
In Europe, labor unions are angry with the Pentagon. The Defense Department tore up a huge contract with European plane maker Airbus, a $35 billion deal. The U.S. government did that so the plane company in Seattle could bid. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The U.S. government says that mistakes were made when the contract to supply refueling tankers was awarded to Airbus and its American partner Northrop Grumman. It said that Boeing lost out because of errors during the assessment process. The Pentagon will now reconsider the bids, but the main union representing Airbus workers in Britain has angrily denounced the decision. General Secretary John Wall says it is politically driven and misguided.
This decision is all about protectionism. And that takes America way back to one of the root causes, I would suggest, of the Depression of the 30s, protectionism.
Boeing says that more than 75% of its aircraft would be built in the U.S., compared with about half of the Airbus plane. The Pentagon is expected to decide by the end of the year who will get the contract. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
I'm only going to mention this once. Because frankly, Apple gets enough press, and I'm not selling what they're shilling. Still, I suppose it's news. The new version of the iPhone goes on sale tomorrow, and Apple is also opening what's called the App Store. This is a way for owners of the iPhone to add games and other software and web shortcuts to their iPhones. The Wall Street Journal says the App Store could do for mobile phone software what iTunes has done for digital music.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by Clarkson Potters, the splendid table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
This is not a good time to be looking for a job. In May, employers hired workers at the slowest pace in about 5 years. But whenever the job numbers come out, they don't look as bad as you might think. The unemployment rate hasn't moved that much. Let's talk to our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, what do you think of the employment numbers?
I don't get the job numbers. You know, my suspicion is that since 2000, we've had an enormous wave of illegal immigrants come to this country. Now, historically, illegal immigrants are extremely sensitive to the business cycle. So when the economy's strong and employers are holding up that help wanted sign and they're screaming, come work for me, illegal immigrants come across the border. When the economy is contracting, illegal immigrants tend to go back. Plus, you have this crackdown that's going on. So my suspicion is that a lot of the layoffs are not being recorded because it's happening in the illegal immigrant economy.
Okay, let's say that some of the layoffs are off the books. How does that really affect the economy?
Oh, it affects the economy very strongly. One, it's a sign that business is continuing to contract. And the other thing is, remember, immigrants, illegal immigrants, you, me, I mean, we're also consumers, and we go out and we spend. I mean, there's all kinds of economic activities that go along with being a worker. I mean, illegal immigrant is just a category. So if illegal immigrants are leaving here, there's also an economic impact that can spill over in a lot of communities and cities which have a fairly vibrant immigrant sector. It just feeds into this slowing, contracting, I would call it recessionary, but if you don't want to call it that, contracting economy.
You can use that term if you want.
Okay.
All right. So to wrap up here, we've been hearing so much bad news, downer. I'm getting depressed just talking about it. Can you give me a ray of sunshine somewhere?
I'm going to give you two rays of sunshine. This economy is remarkably resilient. Considering everything that's hit it, it's still pretty remarkable how strong economic activity is. So that's the first ray, okay? That's your baseline. The second baseline is, what would happen if the price of oil came down? If we get a break on the price of oil, we will have a historic rally in the stock market. Profit margins among corporations will start expanding. The worries about inflation will somewhat abate, and it would be a real kick to this economy.
Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.